Ryan Day has a proposal. Everybody's got thoughts on the future of college football, and it feels inevitable. We're going to go from 12 teams to more.
Mm.
Ryan Day said, we're in the Big Ten. We have 18 teams, some of the best programs in the country, and I feel we deserve at least 4 automatic qualifiers. John, your thoughts?
I'm not a huge fan of auto seeding. Glad they got rid of that. I'm not a huge fan of automatic qualifiers. The only thing I will agree with him on is this, and this is his quote. If you don't have those automatic qualifiers, you're less likely to play a game like we're playing this year against Texas because it just won't make sense. If we do, then you're more likely to do that because we play 9 conference games in the Big Ten. The SEC doesn't, so it's not equal. I agree with that statement where if you aren't in that automatic qualifier, you're going to play your 9 conference games, but then you're probably going to schedule 3 directionals, some cupcakes to begin with, to pad the stats, because we all know that the playoff committee is going to look at wins and losses more than anything else. At least that's what the precedent has been set.
So half of his statement I agree with. The fact that the Big Ten plays 9 and the SEC plays 8 creates an issue. I don't agree with his opinion that you're less likely to play big opponents because you should want to get the marquee win to use as a differentiator for the final spots. See, I think too many coaches are playing the little bitch card. We don't want to play the games because what if we lose? How about we get some real coaches who say, what if we win? How about that becomes the attitude in sports? I thought that's how these guys operated. We play to win. We're Ohio State. Of course we'll play Texas and we'll kick their ass and it'll be a differentiator for us getting a playoff spot. Why do college coaches act like little babies because now they all think they're going to lose the big games?
It's not about it. I love the fact that you're puffing your chest up there.
What's stupid?
That's awesome. And in a utopic society, you are 100% correct.
Well, they're mad that if they lose, they'll be punished. That's sports. You play Texas. If you win, you get rewarded. If you lose, you get punished. Why run from that?
But that's not the college football playoff committee. It's just not. And if it's about money, because that's what this is about. If you get into the college football playoffs, it's more money. And coaches have bonuses for simply getting into the college football playoffs, let alone winning it. So if you get in and you get money, what's the incentive? The incentive's to get in.
I went back and looked at last year. If we had a 16-team playoff last year, just ranked 1 through 16 at the end of conference championships, you know how many teams the Big Ten would have had?
4.
4! You don't need to specify an automatic qualifier. Many years, they'll get more than 4. The SEC last season would have had 6. Remember the debate about Alabama and Ole Miss and South Carolina? They all would have been in, which is part of the issue with 16. But they don't need AQs. They don't need automatic qualifiers. They're going to be heavily represented regardless.
I agree with you. I do agree that I don't want automatic qualifiers. I want you to play the games. If the Big Ten and the SEC are the big boys,
they'll be there.
Then it shouldn't matter. They should have a minimum of 4 every single year. And maybe there's an off year where they have 3 because, I don't know, somebody in the Big 12 or somebody in the ACC just decides that, hey, this is the year we're going to spend $60 million on our roster.
If you look last year, finishing it out, Big Ten 4, SEC 6, ACC would have had 3. The Big 12 only would have had 1 with Arizona State. And the other 2 spots would have come from Notre Dame and Boise. You would have had 2.
And that Arizona State was because you will get an automatic qualifier because you're a conference champ.
Yeah, they would have been top 16 regardless. But yes, I do think we should guarantee 1 automatic qualifier as a conference champion because that then rewards winning your conference. Yeah. I don't think we need to reward finishing 4th in your conference. If you're 4th in your conference and you deserve to be there, you'll be there. If you finish 4th in your conference and you have a bunch of ugly losses and you didn't beat anybody, you'll stay home. I mean, that's how it should work.
So you go back and forth because here's what I think the ideal situation is. If you're going to go with the automatic qualifier, then go with one of the ideas that came out of the SEC meetings where, yes, they're going to go to 9 conference games. One of the non-conference is going to be a matchup between an SEC and a Big Ten school.
Now we get some comparables.
Now you have 10, whether it's conference games or it's that interleague play, all of a sudden you've got 10 really good games. And then you have two non-conference games. We all know those are going to be patsies.
Look, and it's not going to be perfect because we don't play 30-plus games like college basketball. You're not going to get to compare everything perfectly. But if you did create a system where the Big Ten and the SEC crossed over one game a year, you'd get a little better read of the situation.
Sure. I love that. And I love the fact that it could be Michigan. I mean, selfishly, I want to be able to go to some of those stadiums, play in some of those college towns.
And I don't know how they do it. It may be like the Big Ten ACC Challenge used to be. They would just take the year prior standings and just go one versus one, two versus two, three versus... That'd be fine, a fine way to start it and go from there and evolve it. Maybe you rotate through so you play most of the teams. I'd love that. Like, the idea would be if you do automatic qualifiers for 16, you're doing what, four Big Ten, four SEC. There have been different proposals thrown out, but two for the ACC and two for the Big 12.
Yeah, it's the arithmetic model. It's four plus four plus two plus two plus three. One. I don't know.
However you do the
others. That's why I call it the arithmetic model. Yes, it's four for the Big Ten and the SEC. It's two for the ACC and two for the Big 12.
And then you have three remaining spots, which would be at large, or you guarantee one for the group of...
Right.
What are we calling it? It's not the group of five anymore. It's like the group of six. Well, it's the non-power four.
Well, you got their power four, but it's non-power, but still group of five. Right?
There's more than five because the Pac-12 is still alive, right?
Well, they're getting rejuvenated this
USA,
year because Mountain West
Mac,
is getting raided.
American. Anyway.
This is the problem with college football is the fact that, first of all, 18 teams in the Big Ten. Too many. Too many teams in the SEC.
Say that again one more time. The big what?
The Big Ten
has how many
18.
Teams?
All right. So, okay, they kept Big Ten because of the branding, right? But then it was 11. Then it was 12. Then it was 14. Now it's 18. Like, it's so bizarre that you get down this conversation. That's why from Sunday to Friday, it's a painful discussion. Off season, painful discussion. 12 Saturdays in the fall, it becomes fun. And it could be only fun for 3.5 hours because you might not like what's going on the other games of that day.
Ryan Day says we're in the Big Ten. We have 18 teams, some of the best in the country. We deserve at least four automatic qualifiers. Future of the college football playoff. 248-539-9797. Your phone calls, your ticket text. He says if you don't have those automatic qualifiers, you're less likely to play a game like we have this year with Texas. To that, I would say stop being a weenie. That is a non-competitive mentality. A competitor says, we're going to play and beat a team like Texas, which would solidify our resume. Not, what if we lose? That is a losing mentality. That is a non-competitive mentality. He's being a weenie.
Okay, I'm not going to argue the fact that he's a weenie.
Okay.
I think he is.
I say we can meet there.
Yeah, we can agree on
that. You're a competitor too, John.
We agree on most of this. And yes, I agree. I would much rather earn my way in, play the best teams. I line up 12 teams. Don't even worry about the patsies. Just line up and play. And maybe you start and have a couple of preseason games like we do in the NFL. Everything that we are doing right now is starting to follow an NFL model. So if you're going to do that, you're going to play. If you win the national championship, you could play 17 games. So you're playing an NFL schedule. So if that's the case, then have a couple of preseason games. The issues that are they all add up to be why going to this 16 team or automatic qualifiers are an issue. He does raise a couple of concerns that I've talked about before. If the house settlement happens and you're going to 105 as a roster limit, now all of a sudden you got freshmen that just aren't going to play. You have some other guys that just aren't ready to play or haven't developed. You start whittling that number down to maybe you're drawn from 65 guys. And then, as we know, as we've seen throughout the course of an NFL season, college season is no different anymore. You're going to lose guys to injury.
So the bigger, deeper,
you don't have
teams.
The ability to go out there and sign a free agent middle of the season. You can't pull somebody off the practice squad in the middle of the season. You have what you have.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing that and you're playing it, you play against bigger, more physical teams, you're more likely to suffer injuries that could cost you games. Maybe not seasons, but games.
So to me, the answer is no automatic qualifiers. Whether that's, well, I'm fine with a conference champion, but I don't need this 3 and 4 teams deep in your conference being guaranteed a qualifier. Let me rephrase. I like the AQs for the conference champs. I like rewarding winning your conference. Yep. Beyond that, nothing should be guaranteed. It should be ranked that point 1 to 12, 1 to 16, 1 to 24, whatever the hell this ends up being.
So
on merit.
Doesn't it sound like the NFL where you have,
yes. Yeah.
You win your division, you have an automatic qualifier to the postseason.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it is. So, but the problem is in the NFL, it's all based on record. At college, it's all based on a ranking from a panel of what, 12 people?
It's subjective.
So that's where you have a great divide between where the NFL is and where college football is.
But I guess if we get to the point where this 4-loss team is upset that they were left out, I have negative sympathy for you. Like, okay, I'll delight in your own misery, Ole Miss. Like, you weren't good enough, South Carolina, Alabama. Like, beat Vandy and Oklahoma. I will, instead of having sympathy, openly mock you for not being good enough.
Okay, but you just used 4-loss team.
Yeah.
All right, so if you play 9 conference games and you have 3 losses in your conference. Now, I get it. 3 conference losses in your conference. But one of those is to, let's just say Alabama plays Oregon.
Yeah.
And Oregon loses. Yeah. They're a 4-loss team.
Yep.
You just penalized them because you just said 4-loss team. You didn't qualify who it was against.
I'm going to penalize you for losing, and I'm going to reward you for winning.
Okay,
that's
so
sports.
Then,
wow.
But you just made my argument. Then schedule 3 patsies, so you get more wins, then you have 3 losses.
Then you don't have a chance to beat an Alabama or an Oregon. And that could be the difference in you getting the final spot. See, people are only looking at the downside, and I would think in sports we would look at the upside of winning more, but it's clear that college football is a collection of weenies.
No, it's not. It's a collection of people that just want more money. And so if you
want
more money...
They want more money. They both could be true.
Well, I don't think that plays a part of it. As a competitor, you wouldn't even schedule.
What if I lose? Why show up? What if I lose?
Okay.
That's how it reads to me. That's how it reads to me.
That's fine. And you can puff your chest out all you want. I'm just telling you what the world, it may suck. All right, here's a life lesson. All kids listening, it's not fair. Life is never going to be fair. And it's just, if you want to take on the toughest challenges, I'll respect that and I'll love it. I would prefer that, but it may not actually be what gets you the ultimate goal.
Some ticket texts. I like the more, I think the 4 major conferences should get their conference champion participants in, and then the 5th conference gets their champion into the playoff.
So you, if you play in a conference championship game, so yeah, chances are in the SEC and the Big Ten,
yeah,
if you're playing in that conference title game, you're going to get in.
But you're saying, so the ACC champ and runner-up, Big 12 champ and runner-up, Big 10 SEC champ and runner-up would get in. That would give you 8 spots. He says, I would limit. 4 would be the most any conference should get, Neil in Carleton.
So the walking that line, then all of a sudden last year, the Big 12 gets 2 teams in?
Yeah. And the SEC doesn't get 6. They're capped at 4, which means between Alabama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, only one of those 3 get in.
Yeah, but do you want the number 2 team out of the Big 12?
So BYU is the 17th team in the country.
Right.
I mean, I'm okay with that, to not put 6 from one conference in. I feel like they had their chance to fight their way to a playoff spot, and they didn't.
Because they play in a tougher conference?
Yeah, and they were beat up, and they didn't do it. They didn't accomplish it. So better luck next year.
Well, yeah, then all of a sudden Colorado, who doesn't play anybody, what are they, a big win against Kansas. Big win against Kansas State.
Do you want to be in the big conference, or do you want to go to the small conference and have an easier route? Because you could do that if you'd like. But it's like you want to have your cake and eat it too. I want to be in the best conference, and I want to get in just by default.
No, you want to get in because you are actually scheduling, by being a part of that conference, the tougher schedule.
And it doesn't matter if I win or lose. I exist in the conference. Therefore, give me my gold star and put me in,
John.
You're
talking about both sides of your mouth.
No, I'm not. I'm saying you're the one participation award. I participate in the SEC. Therefore, I should get in whether I win or lose the games. I'm saying you should have to win the games.
I want to go back to make sure to clarify. I'm not for qualifiers. Okay. I'm for playing yourself in. But if that means, and this is where I hate the fact that I'm agreeing with Ryan Day, if you have four losses and you're out because you had four losses, then why would you schedule a tough non-conference? And I get the tough guy chatter. Okay, I get that. I'm all for the tough guy. I'm a meathead. I get that.
I think I'm appealing to you.
Yes, but I'm trying to be realistic.
Okay.
And if the College Football Playoff Committee is in week one going to ding you because Georgia and Oregon play, one of them loses, and they end the season with four losses versus Kansas, who's playing, you know, whoever in the non-conference. They don't have any tough games, as well as a very easy conference schedule, and they end up with two losses. They belong in because they didn't play a tough schedule.
Ticket Texter says, if the coaches and schools are going to act this way, maybe they should get rid of the non-conference games or take the scheduling out of their hands.
So I think a tweak of this, and I'm not a huge fan of it only being the Big Ten and SEC.
Everybody's got to play ball.
Yeah, and so maybe again, this is where you need a commissioner or somebody that is helping control, that is not affiliated with any conference, but scheduling those non-conference games. It's okay to have a couple of preseason games, but then you've got to be able to, it's not just the Big Ten and the SEC playing. You can schedule a Clemson. You can schedule somebody coming out of the Big 12, and then it's a chance to spread, you know, and get some great games across the country.
Ticket Texter says use the hockey model. I don't even know if people know what the hockey model is. They say it's RPI, encourages conferences to play good matchups. Top teams still get in after auto bids. They have like a formula. So you know going in what you're going to get credit for and
so
not credit
merge,
for.
So you merge the current system with
kind of a BCS kind of to take some
computer model.
Yeah, you take some subjectivity out of it. You know more or less what you have to do to get in.
I say scrap the entire model and you have one giant conference with divisions and you go a bigger version of the NFL.
Someone basically agrees with you. 2014 mega conferences. So it'd be two mega conferences and AFC, yeah. NFC it up and do it that way. It's 97.1. Michigan State set to hire their next athletic director, Jay Bratt. Georgia Tech. And John, everything I've read about this guy seems like a great hire.
Yeah, really does. And you look at his previous stops and you think, okay, well, he's done good for those athletic departments. And I think the key part for him, the most important part of any athletic director hire at this point is fundraising.
Yep.
And whether it is fundraising for facilities that continually need to be upgraded, updated. It's an arms race when you're recruiting. And it's not just, we always talk about football, and we'll get there in a moment. But it is, whether it's, you know, it's your basketball facilities, it's your baseball, your softball facilities, it's everything that is in and around college athletics all boils down to, how much money do you have to spend? How big is your athletic department? Can you continue to keep the staff? Can you continue to compete in all these different sports? Because the Big Ten has more sports, more varsity sports than any other conference.
It's a huge critical hire for Michigan State. Like, this is a critical time for the athletic department. Their football program has had a losing record for the last five seasons. As an athletic department, they've lost money four of the last 5 years. Tom Izzo is near the end of his tenure at Michigan State, and you'll need to make a big-time basketball hire in the near future. Hell, they may be making a big football hire at the end of this upcoming season. And if that sounds crazy, think about it. He didn't hire this football coach, and they were underwhelming at the end of last season. And if they roll out, what was the preseason win total? Another five wins? Yeah, I mean, yeah. If they're on the under, I mean, did Jonathan Smith bring over his own guys? Yes. Did it look very good last fall? No. If it doesn't look good again this fall, these are big high-level decisions. I think your job as an AD is, one, fundraising, and he's a fundraising dynamo, but two, it's hiring and firing football and basketball coaches, and they may have to do that in the next 2 years here.
Well, what do you need to do if you're going to fire a coach and hire a coach.
Buyouts and pay. Yes, yes. You need money.
So again, you're going to need money. You're going to need to identify big time donors, convince them to give you big time money. And it could be multiple times over a decade. It could be multiple times, you know, over 5 years and in different forms, because you have a need as an athletic department to pay your staff, to pay your coaches, and to upgrade facilities. You also have to have the ability, even if rev share is coming, and it is, it's been a long, drawn out process, you're still going to have NIL dollars as a part of it. And the head of your organization is your athletic director. That is, you could talk about collectives, and they're the ones that are, yes, they're raising money, but it all comes back to the leadership of the athletic department and your athletic director.
He generated and helped generate nearly $300 million since 2022 at Georgia Tech, and that was towards renovating their football stadium, as well as improvements to the basketball center, the gymnasium, all this stuff. That's a big number, $300 million that you're spearheading at a program, Georgia Tech, that does not have the cachet of Michigan State. State's giving him a pretty big raise from what they were paying Allen Haller. There's a commitment to paying money to make money, to be one of the big boys. And I think this is a critical juncture for their athletic department, because in the Big Ten football-wise, which is what drives the bus on all of this, there is a danger in being left behind, right? In this haves and have-nots, MSU has said, hey, we'll throw money at Mel Tucker. Didn't work out. We're going to throw money at Bratt here. We're going to invest money, but they got to start getting it right consistently, because the Big Ten is bigger now. You have Michigan and Ohio State, but also Oregon, and Washington's been very good competing for a national title. And I don't think USC is going to be dormant forever out in Southern California. There is a real fight to even stay in the top half of the Big Ten if you're Michigan State. And that's why a hire like this is so important.
Well, it's so we have no idea how long Coach Izzo is going to coach.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine within five years, are they going to be hiring a new basketball coach? Within a year, 2 years, whatever, a new football coach?
Could be.
What you're going to have to do to sell the next coach.
I have resources available.
Yes, I have resources. And I mean, Dusty May, when he was looking at, or I don't know if he was ever looking at it, but when it came up about the whole Indiana job and he got the contract extension, what was it? It was more money for him, more money for his assistant coaches, but also more money committed in NIL to attract basketball players. If you're taking a job in this day and age as a head coach, you want to know that there's buy-in financially, that you're going to have the resources to be able to go out there and pay players. That's part of the business of college sports.
And let's say it doesn't work for Jonathan Smith. I don't know. Jury's out. It was not a great first year. If year two is not very good, these are real conversations. A coach is going to want to bring his own guys, and to bring his own guys, he's going to need to pay them. I really think the way you have to build now, unless you're a Georgia or a blue blood, you're going to have to win the portal game, right? Like for a school like Michigan State, I don't know that they're going to go out and get blue chip classes stacked year after year after year. They're going to have to win in the portal. And to do that, they're going to have to bring bags of cash along with them each and every offseason. So it's a fundraiser.
Yep.
Yes, that's the number one thing that they should have hired. And they did hire that. You mentioned basketball coach, by the way. I wanted to connect a dot. If Izzo does walk away in the next year, two, three, four, you said even five. I think he'll be gone by five. Do you know who crossed paths with Bratt in his previous stops?
No.
He was at Georgia Tech, but before that, he was at Alabama. Alabama's head basketball coach, Nate Oates, has some ties, coached high school in Romulus. Does that make that more realistic that you get Nate Oates when Izzo's done? Like that's a thing that I had circled in his resume that may come up down the line here.
It's about connections,
yep.
Familiarity, but it really is going to come down to money.
Yep.
And there are, yes, sure, there are blue chip programs in football, in basketball, in any sport that they are going to be looking for that, you know, the highest rated recruiting class coming in. But those are fewer and fewer. We had this while the tournament was going on. The leading scorers, the rosters of the teams that were competing for national championships, those that were competing in the Final Four, had all spent money in the transfer portal.
you can loathe it, but it's what sports have come down to at the collegiate level. It's do you have the money?
You can loathe it all you want, but you have to identify and you have to at least come to the realization that this is the business of college sports for the foreseeable future, and it's only those numbers are only going to continue to go up. So if you don't have the financial backing to be able to pay players in the transfer portal to attract them, you're not going to be able to in turn attract coaches that are going to be able to put together a program that is going to be a winning program. And if you start falling behind, and it's, okay, 1 year as a new coach, that's, you get a mulligan. But you can't start falling behind when there are 18 teams in your conference. And you have teams like Oregon. You have teams like Ohio State, Penn State, other programs that are spending money, not just in football, but in basketball and in other sports.
So what we want from Spartan fans is your thoughts on the hire. Jay Batt is the new athletic director at Michigan State. I think this is a critical time for the school, for the athletic department. You may be hiring basketball and football coaches again in the next couple seasons. We want to know from you whether you like the hire. Fundraising background sure checks the box, but also his biggest challenge, his biggest focus, and John's thought there about falling behind in the Big Ten and being left behind. What are the keys for Michigan State moving forward? It's 97.1.
Okay, that's enough. Yes. I know. We're all very excited. Most of all, Kenny, by the way. The kickoff of the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival at Saratoga Racecourse. Kenny has demanded picks for every race. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm like, well, Kenny, I'm not going to be able to handicap and do radio. But I will try to give you some stuff.
Mike, there's a standard here, all right? I want you to understand.
Well, Kenny, I just know that I love that song because it says, you don't care, but Mike says second deck.
Right.
I got to bring that drop back into rotation. I've always liked that drop.
I have too. But look, I'll do the best I can for you. But you can't do both. I've sent out a few texts for people who do have the day off who are at Saratoga today. And I am going to try to get you some picks that are... I can't just blind fire. That's not fair to you, although still fun.
What's the weather like down there?
Today?
Yeah.
Hot. It's 88 degrees. Gotcha. All right. No one cares. Let's get to it. Kenny, I will help you today, okay? We'll see what we can do. Shoe Polish Beard said something interesting, and I thought it was a fun way to open the show.
Ryan Day, for those who don't know and follow the show.
Old Shoe Polish. And Rico, he said something that really annoyed me. And it's something I wonder what fans think. And look, oh, the Tigers lost. How come you're not opening up with that? Because there's a zillion games left, and they're still really good. There's nothing
you know what?
About.
I can promise you this, Tiger fans. You're going to lose again this year.
Yeah, I've heard that. but this, the consternation about the playoff and the overcomplicating of the playoff is really a marvel to me. You said this a long time ago. It's like, go from 4 to 8 and call it good. It's the right amount of teams, mm-hmm. 5 auto bids, 3 qualifiers. You're really not going to get past 8 where anyone has a real gripe. Mm-hmm. So naturally they did 12 and now they're flirting with 14.
You know what's next?
16.
There it is.
But they're also talking about something I've never understood, which is automatic bids. So Ryan Day is now advocating that the Big Ten should get a guaranteed 4 spots. People, I promise you, I said this and it was 10 seconds of conversation and Rico's like, let's just do that as a topic. Because the biggest thing for me is if teams are good enough, they're getting in, period. Right? Like the Big Ten and the SEC are the big brands. What are you afraid of exactly? What are you scared of? It's like if you're one of the world's 50 best restaurants, are you afraid that a food truck opened up around the corner? Shout out food truck people, but you know, come on, we're talking world's 50 best. No, it's not the same thing. So I don't worry about the automatic stuff, but now Ryan Day wants 4 and the SEC wants 4. And here's the problem. 99 years out of 100, if you go to a 16-team playoff, you're going to get your 4 teams. Mm-hmm. But Rico, look at last year. When we talk about the Big Ten, okay, Ohio State deserved a bid. There's no argument. Oregon deserved a bid. No argument. Penn State can get as many bids as they want. James Franklin's never winning anything.
Correct.
So who's the 4th team? Who's the fourth team that, what about Michigan? Well, first of all, I don't think there's going to be years where Michigan and Penn State make it. I think one of them makes it.
They'll knock each other out in like a quarterfinal game.
So do you guys want to see this go the way of auto bids? Because I think the great thing about the NFL, there's no auto bids. Yeah, if you win your division, it is. But we don't have, the NFC. Look, the NFC North's the best division this year. We have to guarantee three bids. No. You just play your way in or out. Do you want to hear his logic? You could tell the shoe polish has really leaked into his bloodstream. We're in the Big Ten. We have 18 teams. Some of the best programs in the country. We deserve at least four automatic qualifiers. Quote, you would have had at least a team or two in the playoff from out there, Day said, referring to the original Pac-12. So it only makes sense when you have 18 teams, especially the quality you would have that teams are representing the Big Ten. And he added the CFP model with more automatic spots would benefit the sport. Mm-mm. It'll incentivize stronger non-conference scheduling. What a straw man that argument has
become. That's the dumbest, Mike, that may be the dumbest thing, but you keep hearing it all the time.
And it's a talking point.
I want to say this. It's because a lot of the college football people just can't embrace what it is. And it is changing. And if we lose, we're out. No, it's telling you, go play a tough schedule, play tough teams, beat tough teams, you get rewarded. I like the fact that it's already bastardized what the playoffs should be. And the playoffs, in my opinion, should be a chance for a team to come out of nowhere and make the playoffs. Okay. You know what? Didn't see Duke in the playoffs, but Duke went out there, did their thing in the ACC. Boom, they're in. Not, I don't know if we could put Duke in because we got to put all of these teams in who they have to be there because they're automatic qualifiers. No. There may be a time where you may have six Big Ten teams that are awesome. Mike, there may be times where there's only two. The other two shouldn't be rewarded simply because you happen to be neighbors against the teams that are good. So I'm totally against this. It had an opportunity to really be something special where you actually rewarded teams who play tough schedules, and it wasn't going to always be the same teams, because if that's the case, then just make it the Big Ten SEC Invitational and let's move on.
See, he took a pit stop. He stopped at a Buc-ee's, got a little fresh brisket. Then he got back on the highway and arrived where I am. This is all a setup. They want these auto bids so the next go around, they can just get what they want now anyways, which is exactly what R.L. Beer just said. They want this to be the SEC, Big Ten, and nobody else. They want all the TV money. They will end up expanding. They will end up having 36 teams. That will be it. And it will be the same eight teams every year. There's no point to it. And by the way, for all the scheduling people, really? Go look at how Indiana is life hacking it. They played nobody last year. Go look at their schedule again this year. They're playing nothing.
Right. And so to me, that is not what it's for. It's a different sport, but it's one of the reasons why I like college hoops, because they're like, screw it. Everybody plays everybody, and we'll see who makes the tournament in the end. But actually playing teams, and even if you lose in a good game, it's not the death sentence. But we've been taught for so long that a loss in college football is a death penalty and you're out. It doesn't have to be that way. It's actually set up that you could go out there and not do what Indiana did, but you could actually play great non-con. If the Big Ten and SEC really want to show who's best, do a week where you play each other those crossover games.
You can do a shootout, right? Yeah. And you can, or a showcase.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear from the people on this. Like, I don't care how many games they end up going to. If you go down this automatic bid thing, all that is a step closer to it just being the Big Ten and SEC. And before you say, well, geez, the matchups could be great, it's going to be welfare NFL. We don't want our Saturdays to become Sundays. It is a different sport. It's supposed to be different.
But you know what I want to see? Like, to me, one of the better stories of the playoffs was Arizona State. Nobody picked them. Came from nowhere and actually played an entertaining game in that bowl game. And I was like, okay, that's what the playoffs are supposed to be about. A team, everybody should have an opportunity to win the national title other than, man, any given year, you already know the national title is going to come from about 7 to 8 teams, and that's it.
And listen, guys, I understand. I know today is National Cheese Day, but I'm sorry. We got to do a little college football, okay? 248-539-9797. Get with it. We've got a big show planned, including a live grading of the MSU AD press conference in the 4 o'clock hour, where Evan and Rico are going to work on 5 quotes. We will have the audio. I get to grade our new AD.
Wait. Let me get this out though. Will we put up the bat signal?
God, that's corny. We also, I want to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. I know, Smoke Gouda. The point is,
Pepper Jack,
Connor McDavid, his greatness doesn't have a championship. It leads to a multitude of conversations. I'd like to have a few of them. So, can we talk about Ryan Day? Can we talk about his lousy take on the playoff and wanting 4 auto bids? Why? I'm with Rico. Leave the bids alone. The good teams are going to get in anyways. Mm-hmm. And the reality is the brands are already protected. They're protected too much. Mm. We're going to get to a discussion about greatest players without a championship because Connor McDavid, his quest continues tonight. And am I a sucker because I'm rooting for him? I know it would break Canada's streak. But we're wrapping a little bit about college football. Ryan Day has come out today and said, Big Ten should have at least 4 automatic qualifiers. Why? I think that's a road to the Big Ten and SEC doing what they want to do anyways, leaving and it's just them. But then we got into the conversation about its impact on something like Michigan OSU, the Iron Bowl. You can keep going. It is nothing good comes from it. Why do you need the safe landing? I mean, you're already seeing teams skirt the system and not scheduling. It's the opposite of Rico's dream.
Yeah.
So look, that's what we're rapping about. We'll get some ticket texts. I want to go to Jim. He's in Birmingham, 97.1. Jimmy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Hey, listen, this, again, is all about money. You know, Michigan and Ohio State, you know, they're not going to sell out Thanksgiving weekend playing Indiana or Northwestern. But even if they have losing records, they will sell out and bring tons of money home over that weekend if there's a possibility of those teams being in the mix for a national championship. So that's money. And it's spread across the whole Big Ten, and the big conferences have the same thing going.
Jim, hold on. I'm going to let you finish. But in theory, aren't you just moving the money around? Because if you're saying the final weekend, nobody will be there. Okay, so if you play Indiana or whoever in week 4 or week 5, that's not going to be a big moneymaker, right?
Well, no. I mean, listen. I mean, you've gone to the games. You go in September and October because it's still nice out. We have summer.
Okay.
You know, it's new on campus. And people want to go. You got a good chance of getting a free ticket from someone who doesn't care. You know, a big Michigan fan who's got season tickets, they may give you one of those seats for those early games because they don't mean anything. But, you know, they're going to go to that Ohio State or that Michigan game the Saturday after Thanksgiving because it will mean something. And all throughout, you know, the Big Ten Conference or the SEC, you know, they have those games as well that they know they can maximize the dollar if they keep them and if they have them where it means something and they can bring money to the school.
All right, let me ask you a question. Because you've explained it, and I don't think you're wrong, and that's not what this is about. But, Jim, I want to know from you, is all of the things you're talking about starting to impact you, your care factor?
Yes. I mean, it's been going on for a while. The more and more that it becomes more of a professional league, my interest has kind of waned.
Yeah.
We have professional football already. You know, for me, college sports is in a different whole category by itself. They represent schools that I identify with, I've gone to, or my kids have gone to, my brothers and sisters have gone to, we've had rivalries. It means something different, but they're becoming professional and it's losing that specialness that they've had for all these years.
I think you said it beautifully. I couldn't agree more. I mean, Jim, if you listen to the show a decent amount, you know I've been there for a few years. It's killing what makes the game great. And I mean, like Rico jokes about it, but there's truth in it. The fact that I don't know who the hell's on my team on a month-to-month basis, it's wake me up the week before the season. And the problem is I'm going to look at the roster. I'm not even going to know these people. Who? Where?
Well, see, and that's why, you know, I wanted to step for, like, Jim or for you. Like, really, if you think about it, yeah, he said it. You go to a lot of games because you can get a free ticket, whatever. It's nice outside. I thought that this would mean you would actually have 7 or 8 games that actually mean something. Yeah, you'll still have your cupcake games, but it's just like, man, now teams shouldn't be afraid to lose because you could absorb a loss or two and still make the playoffs. You may not get the top seed, but it won't hurt you.
See, it's a difference between you and me, though. I want teams afraid to lose. Like, I want perfection.
No, no.
We're two different people.
But here's the thing. You're not going to get the perfection, but I'd rather see, you know, LSU, Ohio State in a regular season game.
Yeah.
One team's going to lose, but you know what? That's okay, because we're going to be ballsy enough. We're going to play this game.
See, I want to see that game, and then the loser's dead. I like that.
Problem is, it's tough to do both at the same time.
Exactly.
No, but I think more people feel like you, and that's why Ryan Day and those coaches, they're afraid to death to play those types of games, because if you lose, oh my God, people, what are they going to say about us?
Well, look at it this year, though. So OSU's playing Texas this year, correct? Pardon me, I don't have the schedule matrix memorized on June 4th. Does that game even matter? Nope.
Yes. I think it does.
Okay.
I think it, because that weekend of college football is going to be exciting to watch those two teams play.
Okay. Ohio State loses by 21. How does it matter?
Because, it doesn't. No, actually it does, Mike, because now you're looking at, if Ohio State goes on, let's say they win the Big Ten.
Yep.
And the Big Ten, oh, we need all these teams. No, you don't. Your best representation of Ohio State got drilled by Texas.
Right, but it doesn't matter. Let's say OSU, fine, I'll up the ante. They play Texas, lose by 21. They play Oregon and lose by 21. They lost two games by 42 points. 10-2 Ohio State is going to the playoff. It doesn't matter. Too many teams. And now old hair dye wants 4 AQs. Are you kidding me? You're taking the results and killing them.
I wish I could fight you on that.
And it's not a fight. I'm just trying to explain.
Because in my world, they don't go. In my world.
Well, I want you to be the commissioner,
In my world, it's like, at that point, I would rather take a team that was 9-3, but man, look who they lost to, and they lost by a field goal, a botched call, and an outside kick.
Yep, that was my case for South Carolina last year.
They're going.
Then you can dress up like Idris Elba in the little Viking ice costume, and you can be the commissioner. I'd love to see it. Let's go to Donnie, 97.1. Donnie, what's up, bud? Donnie checked out. He's had enough. Kenny, a couple ticket texts, and we will move on. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you, from my perspective, is should I care about Georgia, Alabama this year? Of course I'm going to. But it takes away a lot of the sizzle out of that if that were the case, it was auto bids.
Losing doesn't really matter.
You know what it is, Kenny? I think on the grand scheme of things, on June 4th, yes, you feel that way. It's kind of like when you see athletes with the NIL and you're like, oh, well, they're making all of this money. But when that Saturday rolls around, and the game starts, you're no longer thinking about the ramifications of what's going to happen with the playoff. Man, this is going to be a good game. I just hope to see a good quality game.
You know what kills me, though?
We'll figure this out later.
What kills me is, the same way I watch pro sports, it's now turned into the way I watch college, which is, no, you know what some of these players make, and it makes me, like, somehow I expect more from them.
I know.
And that's not right, because they're just college players. Right. Like, it's a weird thing, but, like, Aiden Childs is a case in point. I know what Aiden makes, and it makes me loathe him when he fumbles inside the 5. I shouldn't feel that way. It makes me feel like a bad person.
And
that's terrible.
I hope I don't reach that point, because when I'm watching the games,
you don't think about
even
it.
For the pros, it's not like, oh my God, you just signed a $100 million deal. It's, you just threw a pick. Why do you suck so
see,
bad?
I'm different. Like, Daniel Jones signed that contract, he may as well have signed his death warrant. I'm like, you overpaid piece of garbage. It just, I don't know. It's a different thing.
You cut different.
I know. It always comes back to that, doesn't
it? You are.
248-539.
We accept you, man. You just cut differently.
Well, we'll see if I can be different for Kenny here. I've given him a selection that was texted to me from trackside.
We're going to see. When I heard the story about you gotten kicked out of a Super Bowl party, I was 8 years old. And that means that was, as we, Kenny and I, that was your supervillain origin story right there. It all started that day in Troy, New York.
Yes. Yes. I was too negative about the Giants, and I had my golden ticket revoked.
All right. By the way, tomorrow we're going to have some fun. Kenny and Evan, because I see Evan back there. Real quick for the listeners. Tomorrow, I'm going to need one of yous. You got to be rolling on whatever the hell's going on in East Lansing at 3 o'clock. I got to hear from this new AD, and I'm going to grade the press conference. I want him to go one step short of throwing a chair at that football program.
So we could probably just roll in clown music right now. Yeah. And that would
No, this guy's actually got a very good resume.
His name is Jay. The letter J, dude.
What's the problem?
I can't trust a guy with one letter names.
What about, like...
Who? Name one.
M. Night Shyamalan, the movie person.
But it's M, period.
Oh, okay. I got nothing.
Think of the other guy that had an R, huh?
I thought it was J, period.
I don't...
No, it's just J.
Okay, everybody just relax. You could call
you
him...
You asked me.
I said I don't care if his name is Snoopy. He's got a damn good resume.
You would care if his name was
Snoopy. Well, it beats Paul Blart Mall Cop, who we had. We have a real AD. I want him to throw the gauntlet down tomorrow. I want him to go up to the podium and be like, Jonathan Smith, are you awake? Don't care. 9 wins or pack your stuff.
Well, you know you're not getting that.
Evan, he's just setting himself up for
that's
disappointment.
That's what I'm saying. You're not just going to say, prestigious university, great football program. You know,
a lot of wins. I want him to go to the podium.
It reminds me of a scene in Animal House. Like, you know what? Just let him talk. You know what?
You know what I want him to do? I love this place, except that dump of a football stadium. And we're going to fix it. We are going to make Spartan Stadium great again. A lot of money.
He comes in with a red hat and it says that. What number AD is he? He'll have the number on the side.
Make Spartan football great again.
You're going to be so disappointed tomorrow.
A lot of wins.
I'm here for you.
Possibly the most wins.
I'm here for you.
The best wins ever? All right. Take. But that presser's at 3 and we're doing one segment on it. I want audio. That's all.
Video stream probably won't work.
And a major operation up there in EL, huh? Okay. All right, go ahead.
You got it out your system.
Yeah. Right. First question. Hi, it's Ernie the Can Man from WLNS.
I think he's dead, but okay.
Ernie's eternal.
Okay.
Carry on. If you're a Spartan who went to school in the 90s, you know about Ernie the Can Man.
It was big news. Sessa was a huge part of the 96 champs. I would have woke my dad up too, LOL.
Right, jeez. You know? Listen, what was worse, that or when I bought him Sunday ticket to watch the Giants this year?
I think waking him up in the middle of the night.
I may as well have hit him with a chair.
Waking him up. No, that was ding dong. And then you kick him in the balls.
Yeah. Ding dong.
No, because he probably asked for that. Waking him up in the middle of the night, he probably freaked out and was like, what the heck's going on? We got Cecil. Are you serious?
I think it's important news. Myself.
He's a huge Yankee fan.
So, David, as a father, your kid comes running in there and wakes you up
in the
middle of the night.
If the Tigers trade for Bo Bichette and your kid wakes you up and it's 11:45 at night, Tigers are on the West Coast, and he goes, Dad, we got Bo Bichette. You're going to be mad at your kid?
I kind of expect that with my kids nowadays.
Thank you.
Something big happens in sports, they're going to wake me up for it.
Rico wakes me up when we get a transfer from Hope College to MSU football.
You done?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you sure?
I think so.
I think you got one more in you. Go ahead.
I'll save it for tomorrow at 3.
No. Let's get it all out right now.
I'm good. We're going to win so much.
I don't call you at all for anything.
A lot of wins.
As a matter of fact, Kenny, I'm glad he's not on social media. I'm like, let's just hope this one goes right past Mike and he doesn't even notice it.
What happens?
No, I'm saying like when they get a transfer, I'm just like, I'm not going to tell Mike. Let's hope Mike doesn't even know.
Did they get a transfer worth anything?
As I told Mike.
I'm staying out of this.
David, as I told Mike, I'm going to wait to see.
I know.
I don't know what they're doing.
I think, well.
No.
A lot of confusion. Kenny, you got to help me out. It's your invitation.
I just love how it's infected the show. Maybe a little bit too much of the impression.
Okay. All right. Let's just keep it going. David, go ahead, and then we'll get to a football today.
Oh, my gosh. Someone says it sounds like you guys took 2 gummies each before the show.
Now, see, Evan has the party time gummies. I take them. I'm in a coffin. I go to sleep. Like, I you know, that's sleepy time stuff. Now, the Evan slot machine gummies, that's a whole different ballgame. I don't mess with that. That's not for me.
Bet you Izzo speaks tomorrow. He also needs to go. Bo Bichette, go get him, whatever it takes. But I doubt it that Harris will do it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, listen, it's why I asked you guys. And many of you said no for a multitude of reasons, none of which I respect.
So it's
a lot of reasons.
You know the first question tomorrow is going to be about a green tie. Randy in a car.
Listen. That's why I want to grade the press conference. So many of these press conferences across America are so corny and they're so ridiculous. You know what I want him to do? I want him to show up like a CEO. I want him to fire three people at the podium. I want him to talk about winning championships and how this is a rat program that needs fixing and I'm here to fix it. Okay, I hope he shows up in a Thanos glove.
You'll get one of those four things.
He'll probably get the championship.
He'll fire three people?
He won't fire three people.
Damn it.
There will be no Thanos glove.
Can you imagine if they had the overhead projector and he puts up a picture of a random person? Like, who's that? Don't matter. He don't work here no more.
If you see your face up on this board,
you're gone. Kindly leave.
And go to your office.
Leave.
As a matter of fact, don't even go to your office. It's already being cleaned out as we speak.
The press conference is over. If you see your face on this TV screen, you're gone.
If I did not mention your name.
Right. It's
you're
like
not
the movie
here.
Rudy. Make them go to the wall and check the list to see if they're dressing. And if your name's not on the list, you've been fired. Get out.
You just kind of go down the list of every coach at every program. If I didn't mention you,
and all he has to say is, if you were any good at your job, I wouldn't have gotten my job. Get out.
Yeah, you're going to hear championships. You're not going to see a Thanos glove. I don't think anybody gets fired.
Is Jonathan Smith aware there's a press conference tomorrow?
I think he's aware.
Jonathan Smith is at the press conference.
Yes. I was really hoping it was going to be in the morning because I wanted to go to the press conference. Just
no,
for you.
You don't, because we would have done to you what you did to Costa. Oh, Rico Beard from 97.1 MF. So listen.
What did Costa do?
I would have loved it. We would have played your question 800 times. Be glad it's at 3. You don't want no part of that.
No, I wanted to see. I'll
tell you what. Why don't you go and join me at 4?
There's no way I can join you at 4.
Take the helicopter, the Fox Chopper.
Okay. I'm just going to land right here in the parking lot.
Who the hell cares? There ain't nobody here. By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, this office is empty. You can park it in the sales floor.
All right, let me call.
Nobody would notice.
The cars are just driving by the window.
Hey, guys, Fox, need a favor. Need a chopper tomorrow.
True or false? You piloted that thing for a decade.
I didn't. I rode in it.
Same thing. You learned how to fly it. Fly up there, go to the presser, come back live.
Okay.
If you want to go to the presser, go. As long as you come back and you're ready to talk about it.
I wouldn't make it back in time.
There's plenty of space right there behind me in the parking lot. Landed right there.
If I had the chopper, yes. Other than that, there's no way I'm making it back.
Buddy, you could park it right in the middle of the digital cubicles. There ain't nobody here. Just land the chopper.
Mike's on that ooh-wee today. Yeah. You on that ooh-wee.
All right. Let's get
some pizza.
How about a new roof? Okay. That's always fun. Picking the right roofer. Tough decision. Victor's is going to try to make it easier for you with a customer concierge team. Follow up promptly. Answer your questions. Keep you in the loop. Installers who install to a perfect roof the first time. It means you can get new windows for your home. You'll save money while you do it. That's why they offer a 50. All right. So obviously Ragnow news of the day. We're going to get back into it. We have done damn near 2.5 hours of it. I wanted to just do one segment on this. Obviously we make a little bit of a bit of it, but my discontent with my university and frankly, Rico's growing discontent, but the athletic director's role has been something on this show that I was irate about. Because I just wasn't an Allen Haller fan. Long story short, MSU has hired a new AD. So we can do one segment in 4 hours on it. Because ultimately, I think the fate of Michigan State's revenue athletics hangs in the balance. The sport is moving like a bullet train through Asia. They go like 400 miles an hour there. Okay, we have Amtrak. It goes like 30. It's It's just moving at a pace that if you don't move with it, you are several time zones away. And I think that's where State is either at now or quickly headed.
Mm-hmm.
They have poached Georgia Tech's AD, Jay Batt. Literally goes by the letter J. Not Jason or Jeremy or J short. It's J period.
Yeah.
Will you go by R Beard?
Are you stony now? He said the same thing it crossed off.
Here, okay.
Well, here's my point. Enough time getting my whole name on this show.
He set fundraising records at Georgia Tech. Why is it relevant? Because money's all that matters now. Nothing else matters. And look, I want your opinion on it. I'll give you my opinion. I don't know if you're going to like it because I think the hire is only as good as what he does next. But I also start to wonder, I'm going to say this, Rico, and I'm not being smarmy, but I think Michigan State fans are going to kill me for saying it.
What can you say that they already don't want your head?
I think it might call into question Jonathan Smith, and I'll explain, but I want your, because I know once I get going, it's going to be a problem. Go ahead. What is your feelings on the new AD?
I guess my feelings on the new AD is just after placing some phone calls and hearing what people have to say about him, it's what Michigan State needed if they wanted to stay relevant in the world of sports, specifically college football. This is a guy that's going to go out there and help you fundraise, help get Michigan State back to being a have and not a have not, not being that poverty program, not being able to pay players and even recruit players because you're going to just pull out your pockets and show your inside pocket and be like, well, we don't have enough money. This is a guy that's trying to get them back. You look at his track record of just what he did at Georgia Tech, not Georgia, but Georgia Tech. And he got Georgia Tech to become relevant in football again.
Yeah.
He's endorsed by Nick Saban, which I think a lot of people, you know, Nick Saban's backing you. That's a pretty good endorsement.
Well, he backed Mel Tucker, so there is that.
Man, not everybody. I'm sorry. Everybody bats a thousand.
Like, I know.
Okay. Wyatt Langford. So, but no, I look at this and yeah, I think that I'm waiting to hear what he has to say on Wednesday. Is he going to hit the ground running? Is he going to come in and say, guys, this is unacceptable. We need football to be up there where it used to be. If that's the case, then I think it's a great hire because he's got nothing to do with the university. So it's not like you're bringing in retread guy who's going to do things the way everybody else did. It looks like he's a forward thinking or something that you haven't had since Mark Hollis. So I'm hoping for the best.
Let me take it a step further. Can I offer you my 3-point plan to success? Can I do that?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'll take this. Here we go. You're all right. Here's Jay Batt. This is the first 30 days on the job. Number one, walk in the door like Ari Gold with a paintball gun and fire every hillbilly bird brain that works in that department. Business minds and killers only. I don't want any more buffet attendants. I don't want any more mall cops. I don't want any more loyal Spartans. F them all. If you're not a business mind, an executive, or a killer, sir, that's one.
That's what I said, but you just said it a different way.
That's right. Number two, push the rev limiter. I want to be just like Kenny's school. I want a dissolution and
poor driving records.
I wouldn't care at this point. Dissolve as many of the non-revenue sports as you can. As you can. I don't know what I know. In the SEC, they carry about 10 less than we do.
Can we meet halfway?
Sure.
Because legally, you may not be able to do that, but let's take a page out of David's school and maybe
cheat.
Yes.
Oh.
And we're going to focus on football, men's basketball, all the rest. Hey, if you win, that's great.
You get the crumbs.
Yeah.
Basketball and football
they eat first.
Filet.
Right.
You guys eat steak.
Right. They get the big piece of chicken. You guys get whatever they leave.
Number three, make an announcement in short order of a $500 million fundraising drive to fix that dump of a stadium. Immediately engage your alums. There are more than four billionaires. There are people with lots of money who went to Michigan State in one of the largest alumni bases on planet Earth. Engage them. Big boy NIL. Which brings me to the last part that you can kill the music for because it's a serious question. Yes.
See that one? Your demands? Like we said the same thing. You just said yours is more comical. But
yeah.
The last one, Yeah, that, I think that's why they brought him in, Mike, is that fundraising element. We're behind on so many different things that it's, trust me when I say people are seeing this, parents are seeing this, and Michigan State is not competing with top programs. You're competing with MAC-level schools because you could outdo the Western Michigans of the world, but you're not even outdoing the middle-of-the-pack schools.
Which brings me to Jonathan Smith, and I'm going to just shoot you straight. The guy who hired him ain't here. And both things can be true. I said it the day this guy was hired. I like Jonathan Smith as a coach, and I have a lot of respect for what he did in Corvallis. I also have deep concerns about the fit here at Michigan State. Nothing's changed. Nothing. You wouldn't even know we have a football coach. Now, thankfully, I'm happy his hotel room behavior is better than our previous one. The point is, he's a ghost. He's nowhere. Do we have a coach? What does he look like? What does he sound like? Wouldn't know. This guy is walking through the door, and the NIL you produce is only as good as the coach's willingness or capability of using it.
Mm-hmm.
I am telling you, Rico, you and I felt like if they didn't have a big year this year and at least, hey, 8-9 wins, this guy's in trouble. I'll tell you right now, if I'm Jay Batt, I'm sitting this guy down. I'm going, look, you want to play dark man? You don't want to be anywhere? Oh, you want to go to your kid's soccer games? Mm-hmm. You do whatever you like. But I'm going to hand you millions.
Yeah.
And we better be recruiting in the top 30 in America here, the top 25.
Bro, I'm with you. Like, at the whole ceremony on Wednesday, when Jonathan Smith comes up and gives him a hug, I'm whispering in his ear, don't go anywhere after this is over. You stay right here. And that's what I'm saying. Hey, what are we trying to do here? Why don't we have any NFL players? Well, we can't afford them. Wrong answer.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Try it again. Why don't we have any NFL players? Because I didn't recruit them. Bingo!
I like him. I can like the coach, question the fit. I'm nervous. We'll see. But this AD, here's the deal. You better bring in some serious cash. You better get this NIL program organized. Because right now, State actually offered Kenny Cotta a scholarship. One problem, he's 30 and wholly unathletic. That's where our recruiting's at right now. A collection of Cots.
Here's the problem that I have with that, Mike. They offer Kenny Cott because Kenny Cott's dad didn't play at Michigan State.
Oh, boy.
They don't even go after legacy recruits. They can't get them. That's a problem. That's very problematic.
I've heard.
Wasn't great conversations over the weekend in Sound Mind, Sound Body. Great camp, but.
Tell me more. No, you don't get to do that.
I was trying to see the time
Man,
so I can give
the
you.
Time. Give David's me some. Get, spill the tea.
Oh, I don't care about no time.
To hell with him. He's about to slander Michigan State. I'm here for it. Go ahead.
I'm not going to give the names of the people.
Give
but,
the, rhyme the name.
But there were a contingency of former MSU players all standing around giving the stories of recruitments of their sons. Let's just put it like this. Not good. Not good at all.
What time frame did these people go to State? Let me make some guesses.
You're probably looking at 90s, early 2000s. So, yeah, around that. Yeah, so their kids are out of age to start going to college.
Gus Ornstein was at the camp, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's like.
Amish Patel was there.
And it's, once again, it's just like swinging. Like, if you can't get the legacy kids.
Yeah, we're after.
Then what are you doing? Like, at this point, all you have to do is just say, here's your official offer. You can wear your dad's number. Whatever you want. And just, once again. You're going another legacy kid off to Rutgers. You're off here. You're off there. Nobody cares. It's like, what are we doing? When I got one parent saying, yeah, you know what? Not even going to send my kid there.
Oh, jeez.
Like, really? Yeah. Not right now?
They sound like me.
I thought I was talking to you. I was like, but your kids are like really good. Like, I know. And I'm thinking about sending them there.
Fantastic. Wow. All right. So look, this guy's got, he's got to hit the ground running. They don't have time. They got to figure it out. I'm telling you right now, when the guy who hired you, he ain't here no more. You better be real careful. And whatever financial constraints, make no mistake about it. When you pay an AD almost $2 million a year on base, that's without the bonus plan, and he plans on bringing hundreds of millions of dollars into your program, because again, Guskovitz, the new president, he knows this is a business. You're not a security guard at Radio Shack.
You know how you get the hundreds of millions of dollars, Mike? You got a good football team, plain and simple. Nobody cares about the women's soccer or the hockey team.
Which means, Jonathan Smith, I don't think the leash is going to be as long as some people think.
No, I don't think that whole, well, we got to give him time to grow. And look what D'Antonio did. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah, thank you. You know what? In a different day, in a different age, Alan Haller and Jonathan Smith would have been perfect hires.
Perfect.
Perfect for Michigan State because you had time and it was folksy and you could develop people.
Right. Nobody,
that ain't where we're at.
There was
now.
No transfer portal. You drafted, you recruited a guy. He was yours for the next 3, 4 years, 5 years. You could turn him into something.
And before some of you hyenas take this like somehow Rico and I need wet wipes and excitement. No, I don't know if this will work. I just know it was headed nowhere with the last guy.
The fact that the university kept it quiet, didn't just go out and get somebody that was connected to the, they actually did, looks like they did their homework. They got a guy that Maryland went after hard with Under Armour money, and he turned Maryland down. So apparently he sees something in MSU that he said, yes.
Yeah, because
I'll take
unlike
that job.
Maryland, we're a top 20 revenue school, and we're one of the biggest living alumni bases, and top 20 in attendance, and you have a big time basketball program. Yeah, this is the problem I have with Michigan State. They act like little bitches
instead of
the gigantic silverback that they are.
But Maryland had, you know, they got the backing of Under Armour.
Out of hell with Under Armour. 248-539-97. Their football helmets are ugly. They lose.
Okay, pizza.
Yes.